Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution of Juan McCartney is sponsored by Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Bahamas Bus and Truck, Burger King, Open Current, Ron's Electric Motors, Wendy's, and the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I've been listening for well over an hour now, actually an hour and a half, to the Prime Minister give the budget communication in the House of Assembly. A couple of new things, nothing major in my estimation. So far, and I actually want to hear what he's saying about tourism. He's talking about tourism right now. We want to hear that. But he's announced some tax incentives for some of the southern islands for rebuilding and investment purposes. He's announced that there's going to be a tax incentive for businesses to hire more people for that. Exemptions. I'm waiting for the there. Right. There's no there to me in terms of the broader picture. He's mentioned $100 million investment in upgrading the Princess Margaret Hospital as well as the Rand Memorial Hospital. That would be, I believe, facilitated by the World Bank loan, although that's not quite what the World Bank said it was for. That's another $100 million in foreign debt. And that's at a low interest rate, but then the shorter term means it's going to come due soon, which is also interesting in that I have yet to hear any debt management specifics. So let's pop in. I won't keep you forever with the Prime Minister. Let's pop in and hear what he's saying. I'm waiting for more of the skin in the game from the government, all right? So, yes, foregoing tax revenue is one way to stimulate business, sure. But I'm looking for the broader picture of more immediate relief and rejuvenation. So let's listen in for a few minutes, and then we'll come back.
In order to bring back tourism, staying the course will remain important as current protocols continue to prove successful in minimizing the spread and instilling traveler confidence. With vaccine distribution ramping up, both the Bahamas and abroad, major hotels reopening, and the return of cruising in the Bahamas on the horizon, there is steadfast optimism that the tourism industry will return to profitability sooner rather than later. Through creative partnership and exciting virtual experiences, the ministry will ensure that the Bahamas stays in the headlines in the coming months and is top of the mind for consumers as they begin planning their first post-COVID vacation. We will also work with industry stakeholders to deliver a better quality of tourism experience for our price point and to increase the overall profitability of tourism for Bahamians, which is key to the future sustainability and resilience of tourism. Speaker, more details on the way forward would be given by the Minister of Tourism. I want to speak now, Mr. Speaker, about public and private sector investment, improving the framework for domestic and quality foreign direct investment. Mr. Speaker, history tells us that investment spending, both public and private, has an important role to mitigate against the impact of economic downturns as well as to lay the foundation for general economic growth. The importance of this investment spending is even more pronounced today in the midst of a global economic contraction as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And my administration recognizes that critical domestic and foreign direct investment can help turn the economic tide. And that is why this administration has made substantial investment in the past fiscal year to prepare for the eventual rebound. We purchased the Grand Bahama International Airport for $1 pre-Dorian. This airport brought 75,000 visitors to Grand Bahama who spent more than $140 million on the island over the course of the year. Work will begin shortly to build a world-class airport and add to the international gateway across the country. Other investments included groundbreaking of a new $60 million international airport in Exuma, paving of 10 miles of roadway in Exuma, roads which were last upgraded some 15 years ago. Reconstruction of the 260-foot Little Abaco Bridge, which is scheduled for completion in summer 2021. Completion of the Rock Sound Dock. Completion of the 9 million Standard Creek Bridge in Central Andres. Works underway on Ragged Island Multi-Purpose Government Complex. Works underway for the South Andres Gymnasium. Mr. Speaker, at this pivotal moment in Bahamian history, we require unique and creative approaches to public and private investment to restore our economic health and provide opportunities for employment and growth. In this budget, my government has committed to funding $31 million in renewable and resilient energy projects, $4 million for phase two of the Ragged Island Multipurpose Center, $2 million to restore Ragged Island Clinic, $1.5 million to restore our Ragged Island Police Station, $200,000 to repair the Marsh Harbor International Airport, $1.7 million to repair the Treasure Key Airport, $5 million to support the North Eleuthera Airport PPP project. $5 million to support phase two of Exuma International Airport. $4 million to repair and install proper drainage, Bel Air area of Pinewood Gardens. $3.3 million for Inagua Comprehensive School and $1.9 million for East Grand Bahama Comprehensive School. As we look to the future of national infrastructure development, my administration will pursue credible opportunities to create alternative means of funding these public sector investments. I am pleased to announce, Mr. Speaker, that work is quickly advancing on the creation of a national infrastructure fund to provide a comprehensive, innovative solution to funding public investment. With the assistance of the IDB, we are quickly advancing the process of putting the legal financial measures in place, which will create a master infrastructure fund with industry-specific sub-funds. By creating this new funding mechanism, we shall be able to mobilize hundreds of millions of dollars in private sector capital to support critical infrastructure development throughout the country in a transparent and accountable manner. We will soon bring necessary legislation and supporting documents to this House as we move to swiftly make this a reality. As the government does its part to invest in the critical infrastructure of the nation as a means to create economic stimulus, this administration has sought to develop creative policies to ensure that Bahamians are poised to make investments of their own. Mr. Speaker, I would also like to update this Honorable House on one of the most significant prospective changes in the Bahamas' national investment framework in the 20 years. I am pleased to advise the House that the government has begun work on the Invest Bahamas project, with bids having been received for the firm that will assist in the establishment of this new investment regime for the country. Under this new framework, the Bahamas will have a new investment agency with broader powers to process applications for quality domestic and foreign direct investment. The new Invest Bahamas agency will have a clear mandate to attract investment to specific sectors through global marketing and public relations. The Bahamas will no longer be reactive in its approach to attracting investments from abroad. The new approach involves us seeking out domestic and foreign investors in sectors where we see growth opportunities. As I have said throughout the course of delivering this budget communication, we are focused on creating a level playing field for Bahamians. The public can expect that we will also revise the concessions and incentives offered to both Bahamians and foreign investors with a view to diversifying the economy and ensuring the domestic and foreign investment processes are equitable. Implementing this new framework will necessarily involve introducing a digital risk-based approach to investment and investor approval. While the rules are still being finalized, the process will call for delegated authorities to the Invest Bahamas to approve applications based on specified and established criteria, with only the most significant and complex of applications needing to seek the approval from National Economic Council. Under this revised framework, we will place the country on a much more competitive footing and reduce the unnecessary bureaucracy faced by Bahamian and foreign investors seeking to make beneficial investments. These efforts, Mr. Speaker, will accelerate productive investment, allowing us to meet our ambition of a robust and sustained economy. Mr. Speaker, since coming to office, my administration has consistently focused on the adoption and integration of information and communication technology as a means to enhance government service delivery and accessibility. Broad digital transformation is at the core of this administration's commitment to not only make public services more efficient, but to also make these services accessible to everyone, whether at home or abroad, in New Providence or on a family island. The need for greater accessibility has become all too apparent over the past year, where the movement of citizens and residents has necessarily been limited on the advice of public health experts. Over the past year, the government has launched a myriad of new online services, namely the introduction of e-learning solutions by the Ministry of Education during the worst of the pandemic. And this effort was supported with the compassionate outpouring of support by the private sector, citizens and civil society, who came together to supply thousands of devices to students, ensuring many of our most vulnerable children had access to education, even if they could not be in a classroom. Both magistrates' courts and the industrial tribunal implemented digital solutions to not only ensure convenient payment of court fees, but that justice can continue uninterrupted, even if halls of justice are temporarily closed. Since the launch of My Gateway platform, over 6,900 people have registered for the platform, with approximately 2,400 driver's licenses, police certificates, marriage, death, birth certificates, and other government documents issued to date. The cabinet, including myself, has also made a shift to a digital environment via e-cabinet.
Okay, let's cut. I can't take it. Not right now. So I have a concern, right? Again, this is not a normal situation we are in. I'm concerned that we're presenting a budget communication that is laced with what appears to be talking points about what has been done. And that's fine in a normal circumstance. But given that this is not a normal circumstance, I think that what would have been most prudent was to explain the state of government finances. Not up to March 31st, or 30th. We knew what that was already because you released a fiscal snapshot with that information. What would be most prudent would be to explain the state of government finances up to yesterday and to explain what your estimations are for expenditure and what your projections are for revenue. Then explain to us what your projections are for economic growth, what your projections are for employment. Explain to us what undergirds the thought process behind those projections. For example, we see X amount of economic growth because we have sold the Grand Lucayan. All right, the sale is complete. We expect construction to start. That's going to be 500 jobs. We've cleared the issue with the port for Carnival. The permits are done, and they're going to commence construction, and that's going to create another X hundred amount of jobs on Grand Bahama. All right? Explain to us, what do you think is going to happen when the wind opens? You know the points opening. We know Bahama Bay and Bahamar is opening. Explain to us, critically, what is most important at this juncture first. I don't believe that we need 2 hours to get there. I think you lead with what is most exigent, what is most concerning to the Bahamian people, and then go from there. All right? Great, you're getting a hospital upgrade. That's beautiful. Yeah, right. That's not the major concern, although we do need a new hospital. That's not the major concern at the moment. You're going to build a four-story complex on the Rand when you still have yet to pay the Rand contractors, but fine. Fine. Good for Grand Bahama. They could use that. But more than that, they could use the understanding of what the economy is shaping up to look like, because you as government have a lot of this in your hands. Explain to us what the situation will continue to look like over the next year in a clear fashion. We've on and on and on you go about the food project and the now you can get your driver's license. Yeah, great, great. You could do that later. We need to hear the meat of this thing up front. And it just does not meet muster so far. Again, this is an extraordinary circumstance. This is different. You keep talking about the opposition and you have a plan. Well, what is the plan? Tell me what the plan is. All right. So it's tax incentives for some smaller businesses. You're going to try to lower the threshold for meeting the strictures of the of investment in the country. What happened to the Economic Recovery Committee's suggestions? Where do you see us moving and what kind of time frame? Where do you see our industries going? And that you have not explained our tourism situation at this point in the speech is concerning. All right. Are we going to let's listen to what he's saying now, cuz I'm told he's talking about government finances. So let's cut back in to him and listen to what he has to say.
Revenue measures that will allow us to meet the medium-term objectives I set out in our fiscal strategy report as the economy rebound over time. I would like to remind this Honorable House and the public that it was this administration who introduced fiscal responsibility legislation, and more importantly, that it was this government that made the commitment to fiscal discipline backed by unparalleled levels of transparency. It is because we took this prudent approach that we were able to bring down the deficit and correct the gross mismanagement of previous administrations. As we were correcting those years of mismanagement, we also took on the responsibility of paying off the more than $400 million in bills that was left behind in the Treasury. As of present, the prevailing circumstances have compelled us, with the concurrence of the opposition and expert economists here and abroad, to invoke the Exceptional Circumstances Clause of the Fiscal Responsibility Act that permits short-term deviations from the path to fiscal consolidation and to run higher deficits than would be undertaken during normal times. Mr. Speaker, I do not want the House to forget that prior to Dorian, it was this administration that brought down the deficit to its lowest point in 10 years. While paying off hundreds of millions of dollars in bills left by its former administration. While we are on our way to achieving fiscal consolidation and a balanced budget, the country was hit with not just one, but two unprecedented economic calamities, and all within an 8-month period. Because of these circumstances and the core responsibility of my administration to do what is necessary to first protect and secure lives, and second, to do what is necessary to preserve the economy and the value of the Bahamian currency and assets, this government undertook to relax its medium-term fiscal targets and obtain the fiscal resources necessary to ensure stability in our domestic situation. Bahamian economists and international commentators, including IMF in its 2020 Article 4 consultation of the Bahamas, all agreed that extraordinary fiscal measures were and are the right policy tools under these exceptional and difficult circumstances. However, Mr. Speaker, while we have ramped up our borrowings as a near-term response to these crises, we have not and will not abandon our commitment to fiscal discipline and prudent macroeconomic strategies. We have revised our medium-term fiscal strategy and published the same in December of 2020. It sets out our fiscal plans and targets for the next 5 years. The fiscal strategy was laid in the House and published online for the world to see. It shows that as a responsible government, we will return to fiscal consolidation and reduce deficits and debt as our economy stabilizes and growth resumes. Unlike our predecessors, we articulate our fiscal plans and we execute them and report on the results. The budget for fiscal year 2021-2022 will remain in line with the fiscal targets established in the fiscal strategy report. Mr. Speaker, as we proceed in a new fiscal year, my administration intends to maintain a focus on improving revenue administration and restoring the country's fiscal health through strengthening the collection of existing taxes and improving tax policy. Perhaps most importantly, this budget goes a long way to ensure a more equitable application of government taxation with a focus on identifying new areas of revenue generation. Mr. Speaker, indeed a hallmark of this budget is to set the stage for greater equity in government taxation. This means taking steps towards standardizing taxation in such a way that all parties pay their fair share and that all businesses can compete on a level playing field. My administration has made several statements regarding the untapped potential of the vacation home market and the millions of tax dollars that go uncollected each year. We are amending the law to clarify that all vacation home marketplaces, such as Airbnb and VRBO, are required to pay VAT on rentals and commissions. Those marketplaces who are charging VAT presently have interpreted the legislation as being only applicable to the commissions paid out. The clarification in the law will make it explicit. VAT will be applicable on the full value of the rental. Mr. Speaker, our plan proposes several amendments and clarifications in respect to tax law and tax policy that will provide incremental revenues for the government. By amending the requirements from the vacation home rental market, as mentioned, we estimate $31 million in increased government revenue. We are increasing the VAT on reality transactions, for that portion of a real estate transactions over $2 million. Presently, all transactions over $100,000 are subject to 10% VAT. With the amendment, any portion of a transaction that is over $2 million will be charged at the full VAT rate of 12%. We anticipate this adjustment will yield an additional $4 million. We are introducing legislative amendments to improve real property tax collections for commercial properties. We have had situations where owners of significant commercial properties collect substantial rent from businesses but are delinquent in the payment of taxes. The legislative enhancements will permit the government to have those rents paid to the Department of Inland Revenue for delinquent commercial property tax owners. We are also including a new provision in the VAT legislation which requires a property owner to inform the DIR when they are shifting the use of their owner-occupied home into a residential or commercial rental property. This will ensure that these buildings are properly classified. With the assistance of the U.S.-based company Tyler Technologies, the DIR has already completed the first phase of the upgrades to the real property tax roll. The first comprehensive updates of this scope and scale to the property tax roll. This has added some 14,000 properties to the roll and increased the value of taxable properties by $9 billion. This will translate into some anticipated $14 million in increased real property tax revenue. We are increasing the excise tax on cheroots and cigarillos to bring them in line with the conventional cigars. We are also amending the VAT Act to assist businesses who tend to remain in a habitual credit position with the DIR
You can take a drink on that one.
Due to the nature of their businesses, we are codifying provisions that up to now had just been VAT rules and which permit appropriate accounting treatments to be used to address VAT liabilities without putting businesses in an unsustainable cash flow deficit. This will avoid the situation where some groups of businesses have put out substantial amounts of cash even when they are in a credit position, only to have to wait for a refund from the DIR. Mr. Speaker, these measures will yield an incremental gain of just over $50 million in revenue for fiscal year 2020-2021. They are very specific and they are targeted. They are designed with the notion of fairness and equity in mind. The reason the government took the decision to pursue incremental gains in revenue is very simple. Auxiliary Bahamas requires targeted tax concessions and relief.
Okay, we gotta take a break. We still are not clear on the state of government finances. He announced some tax measures, so that could yield about $100 million in increased revenue. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But let's take the break, come back, and I don't know if he's going to say anything before the end of this show that is going to be materially relevant to the actual state of government finances, but we'll try to poke in and out and peek in and out and see what we can see. But certainly you can weigh in as well on what you may have already heard. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In court, you're expected to tell the truth. Same goes for your insurance application form. If you don't answer every question truthfully, you could be found guilty of misrepresentation. Leaving out just one piece of information on your insurance application can lead to misrepresentation. That means your insurance company could deny your policy or refuse to pay your claim. This message was brought to you by the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, protecting the interests of policyholders.
Back for a limited time
at Popeyes.
Come in and get your ripping chicken today. Enjoy an all-white meat chicken breast partially cut into pull-apart strips, which are slow marinated in a blend of Louisiana seasoning, then hand-battered into a crispy southern breading and deep-fried. Rip this special out of any Popeyes today, along with two signature sides, a biscuit and sauce for just $7.50 fat-inclusive.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Here's what you can expect when it's your turn to be vaccinated. After registering online, you will show up at your selected vaccination center on the appointed date and time. Remember to carry your ID along with your confirmation code for verification. Next, you will sanitize your hands and have your temperature checked before checking in and joining the queue. When it is your turn, you will be directed to a vaccination station, and a healthcare provider will fill out your vaccine information card and administer the vaccine. You will then be sent to an observation area where you will wait for 15 minutes and be monitored for signs of any adverse reaction. In the case of emergencies, vaccine sites are equipped with an emergency setup where a doctor is on standby. After the 15-minute wait, you are free to go. Be sure to monitor any symptoms over the next few weeks and remember to schedule your second dose within 8 to 12 weeks. It's your choice, your chance to protect yourself. Register to get vaccinated for COVID-19 today at vax.gov.bs.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Everyone should experience a brand new car. But not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich, yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a three-year warranty, why not come and experience the value that Mitsubishi has built into the Attrage today? Bahamas Bus and Truck. The country's only authorized Mitsubishi dealer. Telephone 322-1722.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding the lives of family, friends, and neighbors. By knowing what action you should take, you can reduce the effects of a hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, essential supplies, and a lot more before the storm. After the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help you make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 commercials on Star 106 hits. Contact us today at 302-2300. That's 302-2300 or your account executive. Will you be prepared?
This is Guardian Radio, Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We have yet to hear the Prime Minister detail the state of government's finances. Say what you want about Perry Christie. He at least knew how to sell a boring speech. This is not what I expected. It is the Prime Minister's first time delivering a budget communication. I don't know if it was written in a way that he would have been more comfortable with in terms of let's put the policy and politics of it up front and then get into the nitty-gritty a little later. But we are not yet at a place where we understand what exactly is going on with government finances during the budget communication, and it's a strange place to be. All right, let's go to the phone line. You can call us. I would have thought I'd had something really meaningful to discuss, but you know, some of the tax breaks and stuff we could get to. That's certainly stuff there. All right. But this is strange today to me. Maybe to you it's not. To me it is, considering what we are facing and what is going on right now. This rah 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 is kind of not the course I would have expected. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I am listening to a campaign minister at best, my brother.
Yeah.
Okay. The promises at best. Okay. It's up to me to accept them or to be swing again. It's up to me, and I'm in the inner city. But it sounds sweet. It sounds good. Right. But it's up to me to get swing again. Thanks for letting me share, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I would have expected a much more focused and targeted approach to this. But, you know, it's his speech, but it's not what I expected. Says, good afternoon, Juan. Y'all still waiting for the PM to be transparent? LOL. This says, Juan, the only encouraging thing Minnis said was that we're going to go after investors proactively instead of sitting back and waiting for it to come to us. Yeah, he said that, but that's like kind of a general thing that everyone says. Doesn't everyone, like, you know what I mean? Didn't everyone go and seek out investment and everything like that? Is that a new thing? Doesn't everyone do that? You know, you have yet to explain to us what's going on with the projects, that the economic recovery that you said you would fast track. You have yet to explain to us what's going on with foreign direct investment. Now, like, I find this odd. It's odd to me that we have not gotten to that point yet, right? Those are the big ticket things that are dealing with the economy, right? What are we looking like in terms of getting this economic engine firing hardcore again? Or are we just kind of hoping that the world starts flying again and everything's going to be fine without an actual strategy to make sure that we get the lion's share of that pent-up demand, whatever it may be in the Caribbean? So this is not what I expected. This says, Juan, the where the VAT money gone question has become a bit of a joke, but questions like these need to be answered in a serious, comprehensive way by those in governance, not just PLP administrations. This PM never gives a straight answer, always deflecting and defending. He reminds us that the government-produced fiscal responsibility legislation has he and members of his government declared yet since they took office. What about all the investigations he promised in the BPL board fiasco, OBAN deal, etc.? Again, he's busy deflecting and evading. I know it's an election year, but I did not expect this level of political chest thumping in turn, and considering where we are and what we're, our GDP contracted, all right, in 2020 by 25% in nominal terms, 14.5 in real terms. Pick whichever one you want, right? In real terms, 14.5% GDP contraction. We've amassed over almost $2.5 billion. We've borrowed almost $2.5 billion since last July. We really don't have time to sit and wait to figure out when the Prime Minister is going to give us the state of government finances and exactly what the issue is moving forward. I'm so happy they're going to fix up PMH. That's clearly not going to happen within 1 year. I'm so happy they're going to do the RAND. That's not going to happen in 1 year as well. But what does the next year look like financially? Because we're here to talk about the budget, right? The economy, yes? What does that look like for the Bahamas for the next year? And that we have yet to hear that over 2 hours into the speech is disconcerting. We got to take a call real quick, or we got to break? Me news? All right, we'll do news. We'll take your calls. Be happy to on the other side of the break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. All right, so after more than two hours, we heard the Prime Minister discuss our actual projected revenue position. All right, our projected revenue position would be revenue collection of $2.247 billion over the next fiscal year. That's going to be a $558 million increase over the revenue that was projected to be collected for the 2020-2021 fiscal year. That, however, is still below what we would have collected in the 2018-19 fiscal year. He says it's a signal that the economy is not expected to fully recover over the next fiscal year. All right? Now, he stopped in the middle of that and started drifting toward more what sounds like something that should have been said elsewhere, but we're going to drift back in here in a moment. Let's take a phone call real quick. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Okay.
Hello.
Everything's well. You have a comment?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm great. I'm great.
Yes, Mr. McCartney. Listen, I listened to the Prime Minister this morning. It's too late. Too much promises.
Yeah.
It's too much promises they're trying to promise the people what they're going to do. He is not saying nothing of how many monies that they borrowed, what they borrowed the money for. None of that is inside his budget.
Yeah, he didn't explain yet.
He's not even talking about trying to bring investors to try to get the country back on his foot. It's too late.
Yeah.
And Bahamian people ain't into that no more. He can't come and think he can speak up to Bahamian people no more. The people are sick and tired of him. This ain't gonna happen no more.
Well, thank you for calling. Thank you. I'm gonna drift back in, and I hope he's talking about expenditure at this point so we can understand where we are. This is difficult. You're having to glean information from disparate parts of the thing. It's not what I'm used to, but you know, I'm rolling with it as best I can. We'll take another phone call and then we'll look back in on the Prime Minister. Let's take this call. Is the call not there? All right, then we can cut into the PM. Yeah, the Junkanoo, that's where it's at, right? You give $2 million to the Junkanoo, yeah, they got a bit of hardcore, what are you? Yeah. All right, let's hear what the Prime Minister has to say.
From BTC Feeder Trust that was set up for social, cultural, and civic endeavors such as this. Mr. Speaker, I want to remind that when we get to the budget. $5 million to support the infrastructure build-out of the government's service lots initiative in Prospect Ridge, Carmichael, and eventually throughout the Bahamas. Mr. Speaker, the type of subdivisions that were commencing in the Prospect Ridge West area for young professionals will be done throughout the Bahamas. We've already identified projects in South Sumatra. We've identified property in Exuma. And we're looking to identify property as is necessary. $16 million to support the public-private partnership initiatives that are facilitating the construction of new airports in Exuma, North Lutra, and Long Island, and that will assist with material renovations to other airports. $7.5 million to the digitization projects of the Ministry of Education, aimed at ensuring that all students everywhere in the Bahamas have access to the digital tools necessary for modern education. $6 million for upgrades to the IT infrastructure in the healthcare sector to transform delivery of healthcare. $3 million to continue support for food security programs of the Ministry of Agriculture as it pursues new and innovative approaches to expand domestic food production. The details of the full range of programs and projects that comprise the government's capital plan will be presented by the respective ministers during the budget. What that means is, Speaker, the properties that were identified in the West at 40 and 50,000, yet with 150,000 to 225,000, will likewise be done in Abaco, Grand Bahama, and other places. And because Abaco and Grand Bahama had suffered such economic impact, not only of Dorian, but previously, whatever the cost projection is, Grand Bahama and Abaco will incur an additional 50% discount on the already discounted cost. Mr. Speaker, as a result of these revenue and expenditure developments, the fiscal deficit is estimated to come in at $951.8 million, or 7.7% of GDP. This is entirely in line with our published fiscal strategy plan, which projected a deficit of $954 million for the upcoming fiscal year. It is also down from the $1.33 billion deficit projected for this year, reflecting the additional revenue measures and an economy that is slowly emerging from this crisis. The major portion of this deficit will be funded through external sources, including an anticipated bond offer and ongoing operations with our multilateral partners. The House will note that we are pursuing an opportunity with one of our key multilateral partners to help support the potential bond offering through a guarantee which should secure interest cost savings for the government. Speaker, responding to the twin calamities of Dorian and COVID-19 pandemics has significantly elevated our country's debt, as we have been compelled to mount a response equal to the challenge. We do not gloss over this fact or seek to avoid our responsibilities as stewards of the people's money. Our commitment to pursuing prudent in public debt operations was clearly evident in the recently enacted Public Debt Management Act 2021 that comes into effect on July 1st this year. Section 12 of this act would require my government and all future governments to prepare, publish, and update a debt management strategy each November that will detail how the government is managing its immediate and medium-term liabilities. It bears repeating that a key pillar of Auxiliary Bahamas is fiscal responsibility. Therefore, although we have elevated deficits in the near term to address the crisis, they are being undertaken within the context of a medium and long-term debt strategy that will be published later this year. And this strategy will reflect the government's overarching debt management objective to ensure that our financing needs and payment obligations are met in a timely manner, at the lowest possible cost, and consistent with a prudent degree of risk, and that we promote development and efficient functioning of the government's domestic securities market. Sinking funds will also continue to be a key component of the government's debt management strategy. While conditions did not allow for the budgeted contributions to the various sinking funds during this fiscal year, as at end March 2020 stood at $195.4 to settle external bonds, the $15.3 million to settle domestic commitments, the government has budgeted increased future payments over the next 3 years to compensate for this.
Okay, that's there we go. So that's that. It took us numerous hours to get there, but there we are. So we now understand the revenue position. We understand the revenue projection. We don't understand the current revenue position to date. We're going to have to wait for the budget book, because clearly that was beyond him to explain it to us. And we understand what the expenditure is estimated at, and we understand that the deficit's going to come in at about $1 billion. All right? Okay. Why do we have to hear the debt management strategy later? Shouldn't we understand the debt management strategy now? So we're budgeting for the sinking fund over the next 3 years. We have no idea what that looks like. I do expect numbers. You know what I mean? For the Minister of Finance, I expect lots of numbers, lots of boring detail. And we didn't get that, all right? Here's what we ferreted out so far. We didn't get any update on any of the major projects. We didn't get any update on what the tourism market is going to look like, any database update. We didn't get any update on what our projections for fiscal year end 2021 are. We didn't get any update on where our deficit is looking to come in actuality. We didn't get any update on the revenue position in April or May to explain to us what Q4 of this fiscal year looks like. All right? We heard him mispronounce accelerate 1,000 times. We don't have any update on what the GDP looks like. Projection or growth looks like for the next fiscal year. We heard a lot of stuff thrown out there that could be considered, political goodies. I like that we're looking at certain areas in which to beef up tax collection. I find it. Did you find it? I don't know if you heard him. But he spoke about over the hill, right? And he says, look, we lowered taxes over the hill, and it created jobs, right? And revenue. So he says, you lower taxes, it creates revenue, it creates jobs. Well, that's exactly what the PLP told you when they said they wanted to reduce VAT. I'm not pushing the PLP's plan, I'm just saying. That's exactly what they said, that if you lower the VAT, you spark consumer demand, you create more activity in the economy, and therefore government revenue isn't going to suffer as a result. But, I guess it only makes sense when you say it. That's just a basic economic concept, all right? I like that they're re-looking at real property tax, even though I don't like paying mine, and I don't like the fact that you've placed a value on my house that is in your brain the right value for the house, but I may not actually be able to get for my house, but I still have to pay tax on. But I think that it's good to look at these revenue measures where you can look at these taxation. The VAT on Airbnb rentals, that could be a double-edged sword. That could take money out of the pockets of some Bahamians, but also there's foreigners who own a lot of Airbnbs, and they should be paying VAT. I'm all for taxing the foreigners. Now, see, I expect more nitty-gritty than this, all right? So what I got was a lot of, well, no more VAT on baby diapers. Oh, okay, so why was VAT on diapers in the first place and feminine hygiene products? No more duty on disinfectants. No more duties for churches to rebuild. No more duties for gym equipment. A reduction on duty in building supplies, which is a good thing, particularly since building supplies have gone up with the pandemic. All right, we heard about new hires that they're doing. Capital outlays are at $372 million. However, they were budgeted at $515 million, but he estimates they're only going to spend $200 million on the capital outlays. See, we're in a precarious position because you don't expect Bahamas Air, Water and Sewage, BPL, all these other entities, Airport Authority, all these guys to start generating money at the levels that they used to, and yet we're still funding them fully, hoping that the other side of this thing looks favorable, but you didn't explain to us what the other side looks like. So we're shoving money at these entities because you think there's a recovery on the side, but you don't explain what the recovery looks like. It's troubling from the Minister of Finance, and it confirms some of my greater fears about this. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
How's it on, Juan? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Anton?
No, I'm good, you know. I'm good, man. I listened to the Prime Minister, as you did, and I'm just hearing a bunch of party, to be quite frank, Juan. You know, he hasn't laid out a strategic plan as yet as to how we're going to address the current deficit and the new deficit and the new national debt, nor how we're going to recover the 25% pretty much nominal GDP loss and 14-15% real GDP loss. You know, we have no idea how we're going to recover the losses from tourism or what we're going to use as a substitute. He's spoken to a plan of taxation on persons who I guess he's trying now to say can most afford it, right?
Right.
And that total around $100 million or so, right? However, one, we would have lost, if you recall, well over $300 million when they scrapped the revenue enhancement unit. And so he's scratching nowhere near the ceiling of what his government, through mismanagement and their stop review and cancel policy, has set aside that the Bahamian people were collecting already. His real property tax plan, They would have done the same thing with that as it relates to what they met in place from the PLP when Michael Alkitas was overseeing that project as well. And that was realizing some hundreds of millions of dollars in lost revenue that the government was unable to collect for a long time before that point. And he's yet to tell us how they are going to make up for the poor decisions that they have made that led us to the place that we are in to this date. One, he's speaking about the Ryan Hospital and the PMH renovations and expansions, etc. Right? Mm-hmm. But when you listen to him carefully, he's stating that the works aren't going to begin. The major level of works aren't going to begin until the next fiscal budget, which means June, July of next year. One, which means we would have had a new government in place by that point. And so he's playing political gymnastics and mind games on the floor of parliament, and he's bringing nothing new, nothing of substance. He's not explaining anything strategically. All he's talking about, one, is how they're going to balloon the debt and not how they're going to control, reduce the debt. He isn't talking about how they're going to arrest unemployment in this country. He isn't talking about how they're going to negotiate with the major hotels, who some of which may have plans similar to Atlantis to lay off 10% of their staff, God forbid, because if that happens, we're really looking down. I mean, we are already looking down or looking down the cliff,
yeah.
You know, about to jump off. And so, one, there are so many areas that the Prime Minister is lacking in his effort to try and persuade the Bahamian people, though we're not persuaded, that he's looking out for us and that he cares. But he's talking about Airbnb, one, when in fact it was his government that actually taxed Airbnb to such a large extent that they inhibited the progress of Airbnb in this country. But yet still he has the nerve to stand up and talk about Airbnb progress and how it's doing so well and how the government is able to collect so much taxes from it. But this man is not serious one. He's grabbing on anything like a desperate prime minister that he possibly can to try and make his government or prop his government up and make them look good while he's not offering us any real solutions. And finally, one, mm-hmm. They're the ones who is creating the major mess in this economy, right? Their decisions, their direct decisions have led to, as the hotels themselves have admitted, have led to the hotels seeking to renegotiate with the government behind staff back for furloughing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has the nerve to stand up in parliament and talk about the government has offered some $100+ million in unemployment substitute.
I gotta move on. I got other calls, Anton.
I'm ending right now. One, when in fact it amounts to currently, they're giving people who are earning $400-$600 a week, they're giving them $100 a month. One, this guy isn't worth listening to be quite frank. Thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to Chester Cooper and Brave Davis' contribution.
All right, Okay, I got the budget book. I guess I got to do this myself. I got to go bell this cat myself. So I got the budget book, so let's look at it. Let's take the call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, brother, how's it going?
Yes, can be quick today. You know, the financial pundits, right,
mm-hmm.
with their hypothesis, right, why couldn't they predict the recessions or the crash? So that one over, right? Now, I don't really need, you know, I'm not too worried in this financial BS. But what I'm saying is, what I'd like for some orientation is, the national debt is $9.5 billion, they said, right?
The national debt, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, in this pandemic, and we know there's a de-globalization going on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to know is, what was the gross domestic product for 2020? And then I'd like to know, seeing that we have a couple months more left in the year, mm-hmm. I'd like to know the projections for 2021, and I want to compare that with the national debt. That's the final analysis. I don't need to hear all these little details.
I agree. I'm going to do that for you, actually.
Yeah, in life, I don't expect to hear the truth about food, politics, and religion. All right? Now, I have a question for you, and I'd like to answer for you to answer it.
Sure.
You said something yesterday that I disagreed with. So okay. You could just give me one advantage of global governance. I want all the talk shows, anybody could call in, anyone, give me one advantage of global governance. Because I went and Googled, and there was a bunch of BS that they could do without global governance. But you or anybody, just give me one advantage of global governance, because I know a whole lot of disadvantages of global governance. This is where we are now. Global governance put us in this position, all right? Listening to the mandates. And they drive this economy into the ground, and now these financial fools coming, but they got the remedy. Have a good day, brother.
Okay. I think you disagree with the fact that I don't think that there's like an overarching world order. There is an overarching world order. There's just not one singular world government. Not an official one, anyway. All right, so let's look at this. We got the budget book, okay? So we're going to go through this in a sensible, methodical manner, which is what we should have been doing in the first place. So if we look at 2021, the year we are in, their final projection for revenue is going to come in about $100 million projection. So we're looking at $1.65 billion in revenue. Recurrent expenditure of $2.55 billion. That's going to hit the same target. We're looking at $400 million in interest payments. Next year, we're looking at $512 million to service our debt. When we look at what we actually are going to do, we're looking at a deficit now of $951.8 million. That's down from the projected deficit of $1.327 billion. All right, 52 asked about the GDP. The GDP for 2020, 11.4 billion was projected for 2020-21. Now we have, or that was approved in the budget, and now we're coming in at 10.806 billion. Okay, so your GFS deficit is gonna be 7.7% of your gross domestic product next year. We're anticipating more than almost $2 billion to be added to the economy over the next year. All right, the negative contraction is now projected at 6.3% for this fiscal year. We are anticipating, we're projecting a growth rate of 14.1% for the next fiscal year. So we're projected to grow at 14.1%. That's very robust growth. Very robust growth. All right. Now we contracted significantly, and so we're looking at 14.1%, which could put us almost at where we were in the 2018-2019 fiscal year, back to square one. Now, what I want to know is, I ask you about the borrowing, right? Because I don't hear no bunch of long talk. Okay, so proceeds from borrowing this upcoming fiscal year, we're looking at $1.8 billion. All right, what we're looking at, we came in at $2 billion of our revenue is going to come from borrowing this fiscal year. Next year, $1.8 billion in borrowing. That's going to put us at a government debt position of $10.386 billion. Okay? So I'm sure they'll borrow some and swap out some debt, but we're looking at a net of at least $1 billion in additional debt. And the vast majority of that, I will wager, would be in U.S. dollars. Again, you could debate the sense of that policy. He made a very big... And I don't like disingenuousness, you know what I'm saying? So when you're in the House of Assembly and you're talking about, oh, we have robust foreign reserves and the Bahamian dollar will never be threatened as long as this administration... When was the Bahamian dollar under threat? Explain to me, at what point in our history was the Bahamian dollar under threat of devaluation? Did you just invented this whole world system of capitalism and economics? Do you think previous ministers of finance or nobody in the PLP understands that you can undertake external borrowing to bolster your foreign reserves? You think they would have just let the dollar collapse? And because you were there, that didn't happen? You think the central bank was going to let that happen? Let's be honest about what we're saying now. That's what I mean about the politics of it. We're talking real government finances, and you should be talking to the general public, but you're also talking to people who understand this stuff. And you throwing the politics in there is not effective. All right? Only the very slowest of the slow, and I don't mean to insult you, right, would walk away from that going, boy, if the FNM wasn't in, the dollar would have been devalued. Remember they tried to float that with the VAT increase before? The dollar, y'all want the dollar devalued? It had nothing to do with it. Nothing. All right, let's do some text messages. So I got the budget book, and we're going to go be examining the budget book carefully because the devil's in the details. We won't get to it all today. All right. You can call me if you want, 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4316, and 325-4259. I was disappointed in that speech, I won't lie to you. Good afternoon, McCartney. To me, it's the same old blah, blah, blah. I'm not impressed. It says, I agree, Christie would have made it interesting. Lawyers are trained to orate, but doctors are trained to tell you the truth. Well, it's very, very belabored and boring and unimpressive truth. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hey, Vaughn.
Hey, how's it going?
Right here, man. Pretty good. I listened to that entire presentation because I wanted to hear if there was going to be any increase in taxes, there seemed to have been no increase in taxes.
No, that's not true.
No. Notice what I said, there seemed to be. I was about to ask you, what am I?
There's no increase in VAT.
Okay, there is no increase. No, no. No increase on VAT.
Right, yeah.
To the Bahamian people. But there's an expansion of the tax regime to cover vacation homes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got a tax credit program for small businesses.
Right. Now, before I mentioned why I call, I just wanted, from the Bible point of view, to answer something you was talking about, a one-world rule or government or something to that effect.
Right.
I'm a Christian, and I take God's word as he's presented it. And according to the Bible, sometime in human history, and it seems to be not too far off, that there will be a one-world government with a maximum ruler.
I don't doubt it.
The Bible teaches that person to be the Antichrist. So whether that happens today or tomorrow, only God knows exactly when. But even though it's not here yet, that is exactly, in my honest opinion, where all of this entire mess up in the world is heading toward. I just thought I'd mention that to you.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Now, what if it goes the other way? And it's like Star Trek. Remember? They had a one world order. They had a global. They had a federation of planets. They had a multi-world order. It worked out well. Right? Not for the Romulans or the Klingons, but for most people. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Mr. McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
What I want you to do for me, why is you looking through your budget book, I want you to look and see if anything is there for the civil servants, and if anything is there concerning our increments that they stopped. You know, we get nothing from last year, and they still owe us up to this year.
Very good question.
Look and see if anything there for us.
Because
we've been lingering for months and going for a whole year, ain't getting nothing on the table. And he ain't got no increments of nothing. Please, I can call you tomorrow.
Okay.
Check on that for me, please.
I'm going to look into it. And then there's a press conference tomorrow, too, with Kwesi Thompson and Marlon Johnson. I don't expect Kwesi to really go.
Okay,
so
please.
Well, I'll ask.
The service needs something mine.
Agreed. Thank you. All right. It says, hey, Juan, we will be all right. All we have to do is take Bill Gates' vaccines, and then he'll give us some huge chunk of cash to throw at the economy. Since if they're so good at hypotheses, how come the financial experts couldn't predict the last crash? Yep. Hey, Juan, where are the plans? All I'm hearing is more talks and promises. The country's heading off a financial cliff, and the PM is still campaigning. I'll be honest with you. It sounds a lot like they're just, well, we're just hoping it turns around before our position becomes too bad, and then we could fix some of this stuff down the road. All right. And keep in mind also that the prime minister has an election to win. So there's no mistake. He keeps talking about the opposition, although he really never stopped campaigning in that regard. All right. So if we look at what our future is projected to be, right? So we're looking at 2022, 2023. We're looking at a projection of $2.558 billion in revenue. You're going to have to explain to me what accounts for that. In 2023-24, you're looking at $2.867 billion in revenue and an economy that eclipses $14 billion. So they're projecting robust economic growth. So 14.1% over this next fiscal year, 8.2%. over 2022-23, 5.7% over 2023-2024. See, if I'm not his speechwriter, right? But if I'm writing the speech, if I'm constructing the speech, I'm going to paint a picture of recovery on the other side of this and step by step how we get there. And yeah, I'm going to throw in my goodies, you know, my little tax incentive and, you know, no VAT on baby diapers and all this. But I'm going to methodically take you through, without getting too technical, I'm going to methodically take you through what it looks like on the other side of this. Because I don't want to picture a future like this. All right? I find it incredible that you're telling me the debt management strategy is going to come out later. I know you've mandated that by law for it to come out in November, but that's something that you could have put out now to help us get more comfortable with where you are. It would certainly help investors to be more comfortable with where we are. It would help the ratings agencies, which are as vulturous as they can be, they're very important. This says, Juan, I don't get your belief in ministers' ability and leadership skills. Me? Juan, I really believe that letter those seven MPs warned us about ministers' flaws and lack of leadership skills. And lawyer Scott said ministers lack the ability to energize a mosquito. The proof is there. Juan, I find it stunning that our government just contacted Pfizer for a quote on the vaccine. Why was this not done from last year? We're a jokey country. I'm trying to figure out how long the quote takes. I also want to know what Pfizer is going to charge us. They charged the U.S. $19 and something cents per vaccine, and they charged the Europeans $14 and I think 95 cents for the vaccine. What are you charging us is my question. You can call me back. I see you calling. I just was trying to get the text message. It's 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. It says, hi, Juan. You said baby diapers are VAT-free. Do you know if they're duty-free also? I'd have to check. I'm not certain. But Juan, you're joking. This is an impressive budget. You also you're obviously out of your league to give an educational, sensible, financial, and economic assessment. But Dr. Minnis knocked the ball out of the park with his budget. And his and Wendy Craig's and other creative ways to generate revenue. Stick to your talent of daily talk show propaganda spray. Oh, are your feelings hurt? Because your Minister of Finance didn't give a presentation that impresses analysts and commentators? Because I think I would save some of that energy. Because when the feedback comes back, I think you're going to have a lot of people to be mad about who do actually have some hardcore financial credentials. But for me, I'm joking, not a problem. I would wait and see what people have, what a honest assessment of what happened today from those who have financial expertise and experience in government affairs would look like. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. No? Okay. Hi, good afternoon. Are you there?
Yeah, you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, to the civil servant who called, I just want to say, I did have something in the budget for yours. And I say, I fire nobody.
You got your job.
Yeah.
That's you. You keep the job. That's it.
With the upcoming debate, McCarthy, I'm kind of hoping that the ministers go into details because the prime minister just kind of just gloss over some stuff and he wasn't really meat on the plate.
But here's my problem with the presentation, right? Is that was the Minister of Finance, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if he didn't adequately lay out our financial position and what the way forward looks like, then the other ministers are not going to do so. You're not going to get it. The Minister of State is in the Senate. That was the Minister of Finance there. I don't know who's going to wrap up. Maybe they'll let Peter Turnquist wrap up again.
Well, that's what we get in the last budget. The minister, they ain't going into depth on their ministry.
It was like
a whole heap of, because you couldn't have the rallies, they're just shooting off stuff like you would hear at a rally, a political rally, in the parliament. But I'm kind of hoping that the ministers would go into some stuff because it's like we just press cruise control and this is the wrong time to be on cruise control, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. I'll be honest with you. Again, we didn't hear any update on any major projects. We didn't hear about prospects for employment. Only a few things that they want to do in terms of trying to incentivize businesses to hire more people. The government's going to hire 75 people. I didn't get a good picture of where we're going. That's me, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, McGann. Yeah.
All right, thanks so much. Yes. So I have no question that the actual budget estimates were put together by competent people. who understand this. I'm talking about the speech. All right? I'm talking about the speech itself. For me, it was a letdown. PLP's so mad that the Prime Minister of the Bahamas is doing a job well worthy of thanks to the poor, and most importantly to everyone living in the Bahamas, look like Brave still stuck in the COVID-19 swamp pit. Good show, Revolution. Well, you know, I'm not worried about Brave Davis at the moment. I'm concerned about the Minister of Finance. Said that texter that said the PM hit the ball out of the park is the F&M version of Anton. I mean, that's for, you could get on me. I don't mind. It's not going to change how I feel. You know? McCartney, I've not heard him mention NIB. Well, until Anton, PLP will not win the next election. Too straight. F&M. Since the country's in a state of financial disaster, yet no parliamentary MP salary cuts and no public service layoffs, they play in games. Well, again, you're not going to see public service layoffs, particularly not in an election year. That's never going to happen. We got to take a break. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I avoid?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, we provide vehicles known for quality and durability. From the iconic Jeep Wrangler to the award-winning Grand Cherokee, we've got your everyday driver covered. For larger tasks, our Ram 1500, Mitsubishi Fuso Canter Trucks, CMC Verica Vans, and Fuso Rosa Jitneys do way more than just deliver. We even carry a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. To keep you going, our parts, service department, and body shop can accommodate our brands and others. Call us today at 322-1722 or email info@bahamasbus.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. We're discussing the budget communication today. I wasn't a fan. Some of you may have a different view. By all means, feel free to express it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution. Let's take that call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Yeah, Juan, for the lady that used to work at NIB, and the accountability, the service, the money that was inappropriate. How could she resign her job and go to LifeWiki without an explanation to that money?
I'm sorry, repeat that question.
Okay.
You're talking about Dr. Nicola Virgil Roll?
Yeah, right. That's the name.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, how could she resign her job and there's no public account for what happened and then just goes into LifeWiki?
Well, you can resign any job. You're not required to stay on any job. It's a free country.
Yeah,
so.
but
you're saying she wanted. You need to explain what's going on with NIB. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's a fair thing to say. NIB's got has hundreds of people who work there, so it's not like we're not going to know what happened to the money. She took all the secrets with her.
Okay, so So then I shall ask Benson Roll about that there.
Yeah, that's the guy.
But he is no longer running for parliament.
No, he's done.
Boy, Dr. Minnis is the smartest politician I've ever known.
Yeah, exactly.
Just smoke and mirror. Thank you, my brother.
All right, take care. This says that the civil servants died. It count any that you retain your jobs through this pandemic? Well, you could look at it two ways. You could look at it several ways. The first way is that the government kept everybody employed, and it should have gotten some credit for doing so, even though they did so at great expense of borrowing. All right, we've bought a lot of money to keep the civil service going, to keep state-owned enterprises propped up. The next way to look at it is that the government has a duty of care to ensure that there's not even more of an extreme economic shock by sending people home and them not getting a regular salary. And yet another way to look at it is that the government could have been making a strategic decision that, yes, we suspended parts of the Employment Act, but when we go ahead and send all these people home, we're going to need many, 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 many millions of dollars to pay them their gratuities, overdue vacation, the increments the lady talked about, things that are due in their union contracts. And so the government maybe couldn't afford to send everybody home with as much as people wanted to. All right. Okay, let's do some more text messages. All right. Says the way to look at it is this time it's cost restriction while maintaining civil servants' jobs. Yep, that's one way to look at it. All right. Let's do some more. Minnis better hurry up and knight himself and all of the characters in his government to whom this title matters so they can leave office being legends in their own minds. Okay. This says, the only way I'm looking at it is I am not paying for it. One, do you think any civil servant should get a raise? Most of them was home for about a year without a cut. I'm paying for it. No, I mean, we're not doing raises right now, and you know what I mean? This isn't the environment for that. We you know, not a raise. You're just gonna have to kind of make do. And ultimately, you know, you don't want to pay for the raise. You're still on the hook for everything else, the salary, all this. Juan, listening to that contribution, don't you get the impression that we have no control over our economy and are solely depending on the global economic tide to float the boat called the Bahamas? Yeah, pretty much. And that's, you know, that's kind of where we are. We don't produce much here in this country, and so we depend on the rest of the world, but that is the case throughout the Caribbean and in many other places, parts of the world. All right? Tourism's the biggest global industry, as far as I'm aware. It says the overall debt is equal to the size of the overall economy. Yes, correct. This is bad, bad, bad. It's not good. It's not good. Says, what nonsense from Minnis. If our one-horse tourism don't come back, nothing Minnis talking is possible. I don't know what the PM could say for you and Anton to say it was a good speech. I mean, I explained to you. Well, firstly this. No budget communication is ever, oh my God, that blew my mind. It was so good. You know what I mean? They're usually long, drawn-out affairs. However, I expect it to be a substantive affair. All right. Now, if you don't think anything he could have said would have pleased me, then that's your opinion. All right. I explained to you what I would have wanted to hear. What you need to do is look at what it is, the critique of the speech. This says, the point is not what Pfizer is going to charge us for the vaccine. The point is what they could tell us they pay for it throw all the hands at going through. You know what I mean? This says, good balancing act, I say. We want everything from the government, but we as a citizenry don't want to be disciplined as far as tax payment on a consistent basis. Yep. And you know, you'd be surprised who some of the biggest tax dodgers are. It says, diapers are duty-free, and the civil service don't deserve a dime until we get our money's worth from them. The entire service needs to be revamped. These are some of the worst workers in the country. No love for your civil servants, eh? They keep it ticking? No? Nothing? I hate when ignoramuses comment and consent on COVID and vaccines who know nothing about immunity or genetic spreading, especially Dwight Strawn. Mast cell syndrome is a paradigm and side effects. Cell immunity is longer than they thought. Okay. I don't know what Dwight said, so I catch Dwight like after 8. I had some coffee. It says, Crawley needs to relax. One, the Minister of Finance took us in the jungle and left us to fend for ourselves. The economic projection has no clarity. Obviously, his speechwriters and economic advisors are not in the same room, or the PM is still in junior high school. One, government borrowing $100 million, great. The reserves will be bolstered. Public salary overdraft will get their share, and the election loan reach, hooray. Okay. Yeah, so for me, I don't think it was a good speech. I think that he failed to present a forward-looking picture. He dwelled a lot on some of the nice things they're doing for different sectors, different pockets here and there, you know? I think that the revenue measures are worth taking a closer look at, the increased taxes in certain areas. I think that there's some good stuff in that they're giving exemptions on investments in some of the family islands. They're going to allow for you to build. I did think the family island encouragement act, but now they're going to let you be VAT-free, right? And some of the family islands. So there's some good stuff in there, but I'm not looking at a speech in these times for what goodies I can get. I'm really concerned about the overall health of the economy. You may not be, right? You are not me. I'm concerned about the overall health of the economy. I'm very concerned about the debt in terms of what is the plan to manage it and what that looks like for our future prospects. All right? Now, again, if you have nearly 3 hours to go and crush, you can go watch it. It's on the Office of the Prime Minister page on Facebook. For myself, I don't think it was a very good job. All right? The budget we'll look at more in depth. We're going to go through all the heads. We're going to look at it real carefully, okay? All right. I think Peter Turnquist would have done a better job, yes. Yes, I do. All right? So we'll see you tomorrow. God spare life. You guys take care out there, and have a great day, Bahamas.